Talking today here at the No-Till Conference for Oklahoma with Ray Archuleta from Natural Resource Conservation Service. Ray, you're based in North Carolina, right?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about, in other words, you've gone around the country. I've seen this presentation before, but you've shown very graphically the difference between no-till farming practices and some of our conventional practices in a very, very graphic way.
Yes. No-till is a wonderful tool, but what we're telling farmers to, no-till is not enough. You got to do it with covers and more. We're trying to push the thought process is farm in nature's image. Nature doesn't till. We don't want to till. So no-till is just only a part of the big story.
So you had several principles that you were sharing today.
Yes.
Here at the No-Till Conference. And I guess really you started as much as anything with the idea that you need to cover your ground. You need to keep it covered.
Yes. The soils, if you look at soils, how they were, the prairies and the forests, they were covered 24/7. They were covered with diversity. They were covered with plants all the time. We're trying to mimic that same architecture on the top and in the bottom. So if you, what you see on the top is going to emulate the bottom. So we want that massive root system. We want to feed new carbon into that soil ecosystem. That's what we want to do.
What does that then give that producer trying to grow a crop?
What it does is it helps soil function. So if we can increase soil function, that means we're going to get better nutrient cycling. We're going to hold water better. For every 1% of organic matter we build in the soil, we can hold anywhere from 17 to 25,000 more gallons per acre. That is huge. So what we're saying is those covers will help stop the kinetic energy of that raindrop to slow it down so the water enters into the soil slowly. It protects it from the heat. It shades it, keeps it cool, but it, most importantly, it feeds the soil microbiology, which runs the soil ecosystem.
When we think about these type of practices, how you were trying to counsel these guys on how they move into this type of a farming system. You don't just decide on Monday to do it and you're done by Thursday or Friday.
No. You have to be a student, committed student. You have to be an observer. You need to be willing to learn, and you need to get out of your context. You need to say, look, nature's the template. I'm going to emulate it, but it's going to take time. It's going to take patience, and you're going to expect failure. You need to be willing to learn and expect to fail, and those are the things. Expectations is everything. So it's very important that you understand you're going to be a student, and you're going to expect failure.
Tell me some of the success stories that are out there when farmers make these type of changes.
Well, I was just talking about a young farmer named Darren Williams. He learned by watching another farmer, Gabe Brown, how Gabe almost went broke in North Dakota. He was going broke. And then what he did is he went to no-till, he started using the covers, and then he started running his cows like buffalo, and they was integrating the cropping and the grazing systems together. So he saved the farm. Now he's making great money. Now another young farmer that's mimicking him is doing the same thing. After 3 years from conventional to no-till, now he's got wonderful yields in wheat. His yields are 78 to 83 bushel wheat. He's got great yields on soybean. So he shifted his whole farm by watching other farmers do the same thing.
Now, this is lower input. It's not zero inputs, but we're talking lower inputs that farmers end up having to use, right?
Absolutely. What we're saying, if you get the soil so healthy and cycling, it will cycle the nutrients for you so you don't have to buy so much fertilizer. And then when you bring all the diversity, you've got all the beneficial insects, you got less fungicides, less insecticides, less herbicides because you're using the covers to suppress weeds. Best way to control weeds is biological covers. So you're synergizing. You're bringing all these things into synchrony to create synergy in the system.
Now, on the flip side, you were showing some very graphic slides about the problems we've got with degraded soil on a global basis. We've got a lot of the earth that's really got some problems.
Yes, we do. What I think is observed, what I'm observing is that our ground, most of the ground is bare and uncovered. So we're getting high soil temperatures. See, most people don't realize ecology teaches everything's connected. The climate, the plant, the soil, everything is one. Once you understand that, if we impact one part of the system, you impact the other parts of the system. And that's where we're at. We got a majority of Africa uncovered and bare. And so we got these huge amounts of heat radiating from the planet, and it's changing our microclimate, which changed our macroclimate. So everything's connected. So we're saying if we can cover the soil we can do huge, huge things to healing our planet.
In other words, that would lower the soil temperature almost instantly.
Yes, and then we can sequester more carbon, we can hold more moisture, then the water's not running off, the water cycle's fixed. If we fix the carbon cycle, we fix the nitrogen cycle, nutrient cycle.
Now, you mentioned carbon. That was the other thing you really talked a lot about, that we need more carbon.
Yes. See, it's carbon, it's what those plants leak, is carbon into the soil. Microbes need carbon. Organic matter is 58% carbon. So the more we build organic matter, the more carbon the system. The microbes run by carbon. That's their energy. That's the food substrate.
Do you think farmers are getting this?
Yes. I think a small percentage of them are getting it. I think that I call them the 1% or 2%. But it's those 1% or 2% are going to change the other percentage. They'll follow them. It's external forces. High cost of inputs are going to continue to change. And then the fluctuating prices of commodity is helping us also. So I think people are going to come to it slowly, but we're going to have a group of farmers that can help teach the other farmers. So it is growing. We can't keep up.
Ray, let's talk a little bit about this idea of synergy.
Yeah.
And you were talking to this no-till crowd here in Norman about this idea that you really need to have all the parts of the puzzle. If you don't, you can actually end up doing maybe some harm.
Yeah, what we're saying is we follow the principles we're talking about, is incorporating covers, diversity, keeping the soil covered 24/7, integrating animals. When you start doing all these in synchrony, in other words, you're starting to place everything into your system, diversity, cover, you start lessening physical, chemical, and biological disturbance, all of a sudden, incredible synergy starts happening because now you're bringing all these things to play in synchrony. That's the way ecology works. Ecology synchrony or synergy is like this. It's not 1 + 1 = 2. It's equal 4, 7, 8. So you're getting all these organisms working for you, and you're having all these beautiful things happening in your operation. You get a better cycling, a better water cycling. Things start working well.
You indicated that one of the keys, one of the ways that you can actually kind of tell about soil health, you called it the shovel test.
Yes.
And it's all about finding earthworms.
Yeah. If I go dig into a soil and I see soil that looks like cottage cheese, it's got this crumbly structure, I smell it, it's got that good earthy smell, but I actually see anywhere from 4 to 6 earthworms per shovelful. That means the keystone organisms are present. If the keystone organisms, earthworms, are present in the soil ecosystem, that means the whole soil food web is intact. There's plenty of food in the system. And earthworms will consume weed seed. They'll do all kinds of great things for our soil. So if they're present, like you said, they're the canary in the mine. If I see that they're present, that means the whole system is healthy. And so they're a keystone organism that I look at. So when I grab a shovelful, I want to see 4 earthworms per shovelful in that system.
One thing you talked about that we didn't talk about here a while ago, you had some recommendations about how these guys ease their way into this, so they just don't jump in with both feet and drown.
Yeah, I think the best thing to do is find a mentor. Find somebody that's already doing it. The best thing you can do is build a community of soil health believers, the same people that believe the same way, that think holistically, that want to emulate nature and farm in nature's image so that you can cut your inputs. So what we're finding out is that we're getting some of our district conservationists in Kansas, for example, they'll have breakfast with some of their producers, and they'll have shop talks, and they'll visit, and they'll have breakfast together, and they'll talk about how can we build soil health in our location, in our place, and so that you're not learning by yourself. We need mentors to help each other. Best mentors is a farmer helping another farmer.
Where do you see this movement going?
Well, I see this movement changing our planet. I think this movement, we've had invitations to go speak in China, Germany, France. People are catching on. They know something's fundamentally wrong with agriculture. About 8 years ago, I knew something was wrong. Why can a farmer not bring his son into the operation with only 500 acres? Why can you not make a living with 500 acres? Something's wrong, fundamentally wrong. A family should be able to make a great living with less than 500 acres. And I discovered that our soils are diminished, And we're spending huge amounts on inputs. And by the time you make your tractor payment, the input payment, and all everything else, there's very little left to bring to the farmer and to his children. And it's hard to, and a lot of people do not want to come to the farming operation because it's, you're not making money. And so years ago, I knew something was wrong with our agriculture system.
Okay. Very good.
Because, and